Father God, this morning, God, I just worship you and praise you this morning. I celebrate you this morning, God. I rejoice in you this morning. God, you are my all in all. I hope you are my future. You are the risen Christ. Father, this morning, that we can come to you and we can worship you in spirit. And Father, we can come to you this morning and we can just gather family, God, and you have connected us together. You have knit us together. You made strangers family. People that would never maybe connect, God, you brought us into your kingdom. And it's commonality that is so good, so rich. And we thank you for this great team that was here this morning. Father God, I thank you for their hearts. I thank you for their worship. God, their attitude. It's the beautiful music that they brought us this morning, drawing us into your presence, Father God. And I pray that we would continue our worship this morning. God, that we would worship you by receiving your word, by listening to your word, by pushing out every distraction, God, that is hindering us. Anything that is getting in the way this morning, any preconceived idea that we have, God, I pray that you would root that out of us, God, that we could hear your word and we could know your truth and we could learn new things by your spirit, Father. Thank you, God, that you brought Lori and I back from vacation. We can be among our family again. We can fill those places that designed us to be in, God, and to just be a part of this body again. Fresh, Father God, it's so good to be home. So good to be in this place, this church that you have established. So God, I pray as I open wide my mouth this morning, God, that you would fill it for the glory of your name. God, to be you and you alone. God, less of you. Anything we need to unlearn, anything we need to learn, that your spirit would guide us and build us. Keep chasing us, Father. We invite you as we press into you. And we praise you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Good morning. It is good to be home. It's good to be here. I want to thank you very much this morning for just allowing Lori and I that time to get away, to get refreshed. It makes us better when we come home. So we just disappear for a week or so, and we, a couple of Sundays, and we just sort of push our mind away from the work aspect of the church, even though we know we are the church wherever we go, and just get to sort of have some intimate time together, just connect, get refreshed, do life together. And so thank you for that time that you all so graciously give us. I know that Nick Coleman did a great job. I know that Clint did a great job last week. And it's so great to know that we're in a church where your dependency is not on me. We want to be wanted, but we want to be needed. Does that make sense? So don't fire me tomorrow. But we want to be wanted, not needed. We have to grow in our personal relationship with Christ individually, and we need to hear from other churches. Amen. We need to hear from other worship. Where's the worship band? Where'd you go? Oh, there they are, just right there in front of me. Weren't they great? Thank you so much. Thank you for the continuity of just sort of letting our band get refreshed, and yet we do that same music, and it's just good. It's so good to hear other people singing it. It's so good to see how you worship. That's good for us. We need that in our church. We need to see how other people worship. We need to listen to other people worship, and we need to listen to other people speak to us, because God is actually the way. So for those of you who are our guests, for those of you who have not been here, maybe you haven't been here all summer, or maybe you're brand new here today, we have been talking all year long about what? Revival, about revival. Now, let's explain what revival is and what revival isn't. For those of you who, I just want to clarify this for those of you who may not know. Revival is not of scheduled services, amen? Because that is man-made, and God may show up and he may not show up. So it kind of bugs me just a little bit when we say we're having revival at our church just because we scheduled services. I know what we mean by that. I think we've lost something along the way, even in our church language, where we're attaching things to our language that aren't really the truth of what the meaning is that lies behind that. And we need to be careful. It's sort of like the word Christian now. Everybody, you know, if you're born in America, you're a Christian. And that's why we use the word Christ follower in this church. We want you to establish who you are. Be brave enough to say, I'm a Christ follower. Don't water it down. Even though Christian's not a watered down word in our culture, and a lot of times in our American church culture, we've watered that word down. It means something it doesn't. And so we're Christ followers here at Common Ground Church. But we have been talking about revival all year long. We didn't schedule revival services because revival is not scheduled services. Revival is you and I begin to realize that there's something missing in our life, that we're not as excited about God as we used to be. We're not pressing into Him the way that we used to. We're not chasing after Him. We're not digging anymore. We become content. Maybe we even have some apathy, and we begin to realize that, and we begin to yearn for the things of God. We're no longer satisfied with where we are, and we want to experience God more. God responds to that. The Word of God says that when we seek Him, we will find Him. Is the American church really seekers? Only you can answer that question about yourself, because we make up the church. And so we've been talking about revival, and every topic that we've touched on throughout the year are things that either show us how to get in position to be revived, what responsibilities are for revival, what God's responsibilities are in revival, how He handles it, and every single subject takes us that way. We have to evaluate ourselves, see who we are, and say, God, do a work in me, correct something, refine something, remove something, if that's what we need to take place, so that we can experience You and cross some thresholds that we need to cross in our lives. Amen? Amen. And so we've been talking about that all year. Today, I want to talk about something that I don't think we address, certainly not in the sense of revival. I've been in church a lot of years now, and I can say that this isn't something that I hear preached on very often, or maybe in the way that we're going to address this today, and maybe in the coming weeks if God lets us continue. But we're going to talk about the church itself, and I'm not talking about Common Ground, amen? I'm talking about the universal church, the church of Jesus. And so we're going to address what the church is, how the church came to be, how you fit in or do not fit into that, and I want you to become revived in your mentality, if you're a part of the church, of being a part of the church, amen? Being a member of the church and not being passive, all right? So let's clarify a couple of things real quick. You don't go to church. What's the answer? You are the church, okay? It's become part of our English language, and we know what we mean, right? We understand. But the reality is the church gathers in this building. This building isn't a church. It's a building, right? And we attach a name to it to identify where we gather on any Sunday morning, so we can tell someone else where we go to church. It would sound really weird to say to a lost person, oh, the church is gathering at Common Ground. That does not draw people in, all right? It doesn't draw people in. It's super churchy. It sounds like, very exclusive, even though we know this, because either you belong or you don't, amen? We know that, but when we're conveying truth to other people and we're trying to win them to Christ, we have to meet them on their territory, and so we just say we go to church at Common Ground. We'd love you to come to church at Common Ground. So at Common Ground, the church gathers. Now, there are others who may gather with us. I fully expect that there are, because if Billy Graham is right, 80% of the church is lost. Who's the 20? Don't raise your hand. Who's the 20? Because we all think, well, you know, this church is 100 and somebody else is 0. Actually, 5 churches would have to be 0, right? But the reality is that not all of us are necessarily the church. And so we need to have a mentality of what it means to be the church. So I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 16 this morning. If you're a new believer or fairly new believer, or not a believer, but you have a Bible, Matthew is the first book in your New Testament. Matthew chapter 16. It's the first mention of the church in the Word of God, in the New Testament. First mention of the word church. Matthew chapter 16, and you're familiar with this story, but I want to look at it with a little bit more depth than just focusing in on Peter. Matthew 16, verse 13 says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? So He's basically just saying this to the 12. He's saying, hey, when you go to the marketplace, when you go buy fruit or you're hanging out or you're meeting in somebody's house, you're walking down the street, I know there's a buzz about me, right? Because Jesus didn't come to make everybody comfortable. He came to make us uncomfortable, okay? And so He's saying, what are you hearing about me? What's the buzz about me? What's the talk around town? Son of Man is Jesus' favorite terminology about Himself. It's his name for himself. No one else called Jesus the Son of Man. Only Jesus called himself the Son of Man. That's a topic for another day. But he says, hey, who do people say I am when you're walking around, when you're hearing things? 12 answer him, and they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. So this is what we're hearing, Jesus. Everywhere we go, people are scratching their heads. They're trying to figure out who you are. There's something about you that's beyond just an ordinary man, and there's something about you that's beyond just a prophet, because they're associating you with as though some other prophet has come back to life. They're attaching those names to you. I mean, he walks in the power of. He's got to be something like this. We don't know who Jesus is. We're trying to figure it out, but he's special. And they're saying it mildly, right? But they don't know. And so who is Jesus? And they're saying, well, rumor over here is people are thinking you're John the Baptist, back from the dead. You know, John the Baptist wasn't real popular. He pointed people's sin out, right? Herod's sin out, lost his head for it. Maybe he's John the Baptist because John the Baptist came in power. I mean, John the Baptist was weird, right? I mean, he was, no, so what y'all are talking about, we're just telling truth here. John the Baptist was really strange. His clothing was strange and his diet was, well, let me just put it this way. I would starve to death. I don't even like honey. I could probably eat the honey, but y'all don't want to see me on that much sugar because I don't act a fool. But there's no way I'm going to eat the locust. But John the Baptist was different. He was strange, but he was walking in the power of God. And that, well, maybe that's who it is. Or maybe it's somebody like Jeremiah, you know, the weeping prophet, the guy that agonized over Israel. Maybe he's coming in the power of Jeremiah. Elijah, I mean, Mr. Popular, right? And we kind of attach these. Maybe he's Isaiah. Amos, maybe he's one of the minor prophets. They are associating him as though he's one of those prophets alive again, among them again. Let me pause and just parenthetically, just there, I say this to you. Reincarnation ideology cannot be a part of your theology. It does not belong in Christianity. Okay? I mean, I know what they were trying to say, and minds are going, it's got to be. I mean, like, it's so powerful. Maybe it's this, you know, because God can do anything, right? Different skin on, right? But it cannot be, it doesn't, I don't know what everybody believes, but I hear crazy stuff from people that are Christians. Thank you. The rest of you are going, I don't want to say anything because it might be me he's talking about. And it probably is. But you know, I've told you before, when your grandma dies, she doesn't become an angel and float around and watch over you. That's not how things work. We actually adopt that sometimes as Christians. We say the craziest things that you cannot find in the Bible, okay? But reincarnation is not a part of, in any way, shape, or form, the theology of Christianity. Root it out. Are you with me? It is appointed once for man to die, and then the judgment, the Bible says. How many times? You die how many times? You're judged how many times? That was free, but you needed it, or your friend needed it. It's probably your friend. It wouldn't be you. And so they give these statements of where they're around. This is a safe question. I mean, did you hear what so-and-so said? Right? That's a safe conversation. It usually turns into gossip, but it's a safe conversation when you're talking about somebody else. But it's completely different. Jesus is positioning them for a very vulnerable question that there's no escape. It's like spotlight's coming on. Where were you at the scene of the crime? Kind of a deal, right? It's all the lights on you. Answer this question. He is presenting them with. They just don't know it yet. So they're answering the question. They're getting familiar with the territory. It's interesting that Jesus does not address what they're hearing. He never talks about it because that's not where he's going. That's not where he's going. Instead, he looks at his 12 and this is what he says, but what about you? What about you? Who do you say I am? This is the most important question you have to answer. You hear me? You have to answer this question. It is not an option. You never be asked a question per se, but you do have an answer to this question. I don't know is an answer. It equates to no. He's not who he says he is, right? Not knowing for the moment means you're on the out, okay? It's very, very important, the most important question of your life, who do you say I am? He is walking with 12 men that he is discipling to become the founders of the future church. They've got to know what they believe and why they believe it, amen? It does not escape us. We have to know what we believe. We have to know why we believe it. If we don't know why we believe it, then we really don't what we believe, and man can talk you out of it. But man can't talk you out of what God convinces you of. Okay? So we're going in that direction. Know what you believe, why you believe it. So Jesus asked the most important question you will ever hear in your life. And if you say I've never heard it, you did in church on August the 25th, 2019. I'm asking you, who do you say Jesus is? Okay? You don't have to answer me right now, but you've got the answer in there. You've already got it. It's roaming around in your brain right now. You're thinking about it. Some of you know. I know. Some of you know, but it's not that big a deal in your mind. I'm just being honest. Some of you don't know, can't figure out. Some of you are here by force, right? Mama drug you, wife drug you, you're trying to have a happy home, so you showed up. But you don't know who Jesus is, or you can't figure it out. You're not ready yet. That's okay. I don't want you to ever testify to something that you're not ready to, because then everybody thinks something of you, and then how do you do it? We never want that to happen. Common Ground was created to come as you are, okay? We're all a mess. Some of us aren't afraid to say so, right? Everybody sees it, just so you know. Everybody sees it. You're a mess. If you don't think you're a mess, you're probably the bigger mess, right? So I just want to say I'm a mess, because I don't want to be a bigger mess. So I'm a mess, amen? Jeez. Thanks. I don't know. But who do you say? Rachel, who do you say I am, right? It's for Rachel. Y'all are going, who's Rachel? That pretty little girl that sang right here with a heart of worship. She has to answer that question. Corey has to answer that question. I mean, that's just how it is. Zach has to answer that question. It's not optional whether you answer it or not. You will answer it one way or another. So Jesus is pointing to these 12. He's saying, who do you say I am? And guess who's the first to speak? Oh, Peter, who, you know, cuts my ear off. Knee-jerk Peter. Sis Peter, he was. Peter, think now, figure it out later. Peter, always rebuked Peter, always in trouble. Peter had some great qualities. He just didn't have the clay pulled off yet. He wasn't on the potter's wheel yet, but he's getting there, right? He's going to get refined, and then his type A personality and his boldness, once they're refined, will be absolutely the reasons why we're here today. Amen? So everybody's a work in progress. Peter's just not afraid to show it. And so we see that as part of his legacy, because a lot of us in this room are Peter. More of us than we think are Peter, at least in one way or another in our lives. And so Peter's the first one to answer. Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He finally gave a right answer, and he didn't get in trouble. No rebuking takes place here. You know, nobody's ear had to put it back on. We're good. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, listen to this, blessed are you, Simon, because that was his name, Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not Father in heaven. Why was he blessed? Because he gave the right answer, not so much as what he's saying. He's saying, God spoke to you and through you. And the reason why God used Peter is because he just opens his mouth and says stuff anyway. So there was nobody else that was, you know, heard it by the Spirit, and they're like, I'm not going to be first. Are you going to be first? I'm going to stand in the back. I'm going to be fourth in line. I don't want to give the wrong answer. And Peter's like, God's like, I'm going to use this guy because he just blurts it out. But it was revealed by God, so it's always right. Whatever's revealed by God is right. And the rest of you need to catch up with that, right? Three men, the rest of you aren't sure, but it's true because it's in God's word, okay? Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. Why? For this was not revealed to you by man, Father in heaven. One of the things I always tell you that I love about the Bible is the what or the why or the when or the where. Something is given. When Jesus says something, he doesn't leave you hanging. He'll tell you why or what or something. And so he says, blessed are you. And then sometimes we miss that. It's like, oh, Peter, no. Then why he's blessed? Because God spoke through him to reveal to the other truth. And so he's truth. It was revealed to the Father in heaven. To do with the church. Well, just hang on. You're impatient. Peter. Petros. Little stone. Detached stone. Separate stone. Little pebble. That's who you are. You're Peter, right? Changing his name. I'm not going to call you Simon anymore. I'm going to call you Peter. Peter. Detached stone. Petros. And on this, what? Rock. That word is Petra. Hold on a second, because this is so good. Well, I mean, isn't it amazing that as God allowed the Greek language to be created, that it was created in the Word of God, little plays on words that had great spiritual depth. I mean, God knew what he was doing when he wrote this word. Amen? He knew that later on, the play on words. Have you ever studied the bottom of your Bible in the notes and it'll say this word sounds exactly like this word when it's pronounced? There's like one letter different and it means exactly what was going on, why God used it in another location. I mean, it's so cool how God even uses language to create spiritual depth in his word. And so Peter's name was Peter for a reason. Maybe it was for this reason. And he uses the word rock, which is a form of that same word, to get a point across about foundational things. And so he says to Peter, blessed are you, or you're going to be called Peter, stone, little rock, because on this rock, that rock, Petra, means bedrock or foundation, okay? And you remember how their foundations were for buildings, these large stones that were all put together for, okay? He says, blessed are you, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock, I will build my what? Church, first time you've heard it. Now, what did he say? I will. It hasn't been built yet. In the Old Testament, we see the equivalent to, I guess, what we would say the word church is, but it really means assembly. Well, not everybody who assembles is the church. Okay? New Testament here, the importance of that word, ecclesia, church, is very, very important because in the New Testament, the word church, ecclesia, literally means called out ones, okay? So you have to understand, as you look all through Scripture, we're told to be separate. We're told to come out from among them. He says things like, you used to be, or in your former way of life, everything about the Christian life is radically different from the prior life, amen? And that should be recognized and noticed. He's going to build his church. He's going to call out, and people are going to respond. Okay? Others come, but it's those who respond who are the church. How do we know this? Because it says here on this rock, he's not talking about Peter, even though his name means little stone. He's not going to build the church on Peter. Peter's just a man. He's going to build the church on the statement that Peter made. And what was that statement? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're the coming Messiah. Your name is Jesus, the one who saves. Your name is Emmanuel, God with us. You are the one who is coming to save us from our sins. The one we've been waiting for. John the Baptist, Jeremiah, Isaiah, all of them said was coming. You're that guy. You're the GQ guy of the day, right? Cover, picture. That guy. And he said, Peter, you're blessed because God revealed what? That statement that you made, the truth of that statement that you made. And on that statement, God's going to build his church. The called out ones are the only ones who can say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The only ones can say it and know it and mean it by the Spirit of God. That's the church. So there's a lot of people who attend church or what we call church, but you may not know truth yet. And I don't want you to confess the truth so that everybody thinks you're okay. If you're not there, fine. We'd love to walk with you. You keep coming to Common Ground, and I pray that God will reveal that truth to you. Amen. But the church are those who he calls out and they respond, yes, I believe. Lordship of my life is given to you, right? The road is wide, many will find it. The road is narrow, few will find it. But God so loved the world, he gave his only son that whoever, he gave for everybody. So he's not willing that anyone would perish, okay? So everyone's invited to the table, but not everyone will lean in and listen. Not everyone will perceive that God is speaking to them. Not everyone will entertain those thoughts, lean in to get the gift of faith, to believe what the Spirit is saying, and therefore they will not be Christ followers. And I believe we have people in our church today, in this church today, who aren't there yet, and that's okay. That's okay. Don't be who you're not. But the called out ones are the church. Jesus is going to build his church on those people. Okay? The person of Jesus Christ is the foundation. The foundational statement is the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what the church is made of. The real church, the true church, not the true the church attender, the true church is people who actually belong to God and confess Him as Lord and Savior. Okay? That's the church. Some of you need to know that. Because in our country, if you go to church, you're a Christian. If you were born American, you're a Christian. Nowhere in the Bible is that listed. Nowhere. The Bible says we need to be saved by grace. Okay? Turn over, if you will, to the book of Ephesians. So we know what the church is. We know what Jesus has blessed this statement. Jesus is saying to us, this is the way. He's saying that statement is the way. These are Jesus' words, not mine. That's what he's building the church on. And the church are the called out ones, okay? When you go over to the book of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians is the 10th book in your New Testament. So head to the right, 10 books. John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, and then you'll hit the Ephesians, okay? If you get to Philippians or Colossians, go left. But turn right. I'd like you to turn your pages. If you do it at church, you'll learn to do it at home. If you don't know where it is, say, hey, Google. I did that a couple of weeks ago, and my phone answered me. Everybody's roaring with laughter, and I'm like, I'm so sorry. Ephesians chapter 3. Paul is writing to the book at church at Ephesus, the church at Ephesus, the believers, the old ones. Okay? And he's talking about what God did in the person of Jesus Christ. He's talking about God. And in verse 10 of chapter 3, he says this. His intent, God's intent was this, that now through the what? Church, the called ones, you and me, if you're a Christ follower. Now through the church, here's some purpose right here. Here's some identification. Now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. The manifold wisdom of God. What is the manifold wisdom of God? The manifold wisdom of God, that word manifold means increase. It's like mega wisdom you can't relate to. It's like mind-blowing wisdom, okay? It is perfect wisdom in his alone in kind, the Greek would say, alone in kind wisdom. No wisdom like his. In his wisdom, this is what God intended to do through where? The church. Are you the church? If you're the church, you may need to be revived right now. I hope it happens. Through the church, the man made known to the ruler in the heavenly realms. You're like, well, I didn't really realize that. I mean, I knew I was supposed to take the Great Commission to the people all around me. But you're saying in the invisible, there's like some mind-blowing things going on? Yes. The angels are like, the demons are like, right? What's happening? I never would have thought. That's why it's a manifold wisdom of God. So God says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to blow your mind. You're with me all the time. You think you know me, right? You think you know everything about my glory. You know all that stuff, right? I'm going to take the worst of the worst. The people that I'm separated from, the people who chose to reject me, now separated for all eternity, and they can't follow the law. So it's just this ongoing crisis that's happening all the time. Because you know the law wasn't given to follow, it was given to show you cannot follow it. Amen? And you need a Savior. All right? So I'm going to blow your mind, taking this creation of mine that rejected me, and now I'm going to use them to build a kingdom. And they're like, say, what? Right? Why, God, why would you do that? Because it's so God, right? I mean, it's so, he uses the foolish things to confound the wise, right? Because the wise think they're all that in a bag of potato chips, Patty. And they're not. Our pride gets in the way. And when we're prideful, he can't use us. But he used a foolish sinner to be the Lord of his life, and he's going to end up taking him, transforming him, even though he still is a sin nature, even though he still stumbles and falls, and he's going to use them to build his kingdom for the glory of his name. And the angels have to watch. They don't get to participate like we do. That's mind-blowing stuff. Do you realize that your position in Christ is the very thing God's using to return us to the original plan? Until you get the church will not be special to you. And that's what I see in our culture now. I'll go to church if a better offer doesn't come along. Is there a better offer? But we pick it all the time. And I'm not saying you have to go to church to be a Christian, because you don't. But being a Christ follower, you should yearn to want to be with God's people. You should make every effort. You build Christ around your life rather than, you know, he'll fit in where there's a fit. He'll fit in where there's an opening, where nothing's going on. You have to build Christ. You have to build your life around Christ, okay? And this is one of the many things, being a part of a local body of believers, because he gifted each of us to walk together in this beautiful thing that is so crazy it's blowing the angels' minds and the demons' minds too, okay? That's what you're a part of. Every single time he picks you back up. Every single time he makes things right. I just see the blood of my son. Right? Throws our sins as far as the east is from the west. And he uses us again and again and again to go and to tell and to go and to tell. But the thing is, we're supposed to look like the church, because we are called out. We are separate. Okay? So he's going to keep picking us up, to keep restoring us. He wants us to keep pressing into him and looking like him. But all he has to do is snap his fingers and everything's done. But he's using crazy people like you and me, who live crazy lives like we live in this crazy country we live in, where we're about privilege and me. He's actually expanding his kingdom, I pray, through us as a part of his church, his called out ones. He is building his kingdom on you. What are you going to do about it? I hope that you're just hearing this. You're like, wait a minute. I haven't thought this way. Like, I'm shortchanging God here. I pray that you will run to God and you'll say to him, I did not realize how special, how important, how relevant my purpose is in your kingdom. I repent. There's no other word. I repent of my sin. I'm not being the church. I'm going to church. I'm a Christ follower, but I'm just going to church. But I'm not looking at my life as a continuous reflection of Christ that is blowing the mind of in the heavenly realms. And if you're blowing the mind of people in the heavenly realms, why aren't we blowing the mind of the people we see every day? To be so different, so called out, so bought into being called out. That's where the problem lies. We're not bought into it, but so bought out in being called out that we can't wait to get outside the walls of this building as the church and impact the world as the church the way it was intended to be. That's what the church is. We haven't even talked about responsibilities, but just this alone, we need to be refreshed and revived, renewed, come alive. Maybe for the first time, maybe you're somebody who doesn't know Christ, and you're going, I did not realize that's what the church is supposed to be. Let me first of all apologize that we don't look like we should. We don't participate like we should, but Christ wants you and wants your life, okay? So some of you need to actually Christ. Some of you need to completely let him reorient you. Get on the altar and stay there so that the church looks like the church of Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, that this church was founded on. Amen? That's the goal. May God ruin you with this as just the beginning of what we're going to talk about in this series. Let's pray together. Father, as Rachel and the band come to lead worship, God, at a time where we really just drive stakes down. God, when we go and pray with in the back, we've already made a decision before we stepped out. And we're trying to just establish that with accountability, God. And before that even happens, God, we just want to say to you, Father, forgive us. Forgive us, God, for not being who you've called us to be, this very special, unique people that you pull darkness and into light. And God, even though we still struggle with darkness, we still struggle with sin, we still struggle with self-centeredness and trying to be the Lord of God, you, in your infinite mercy, and have chosen to use us to build your kingdom for the glory of your name. And God, for those of us, probably all of us, in some area of our life, God, that have not done that or forgotten that or cold to them, Father, forgive us. Forgive us of our sin. Forgive us for the time we forget that our sin really impacts other people. when it impacts our own life, Father. And may we just rise. May we say to you, God, create.